I pray that I'd speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, after the introduction this morning from Journey, I was thinking of throwing the sermon away and just having a few words on love feasts, which sounds very interesting. Actually, what I think I was asked to talk on was the Holy Communion and, you know, how that's developed over time. But clearly, the love feast theme tickled Charlie, so that's how it came out. But there we are. So, no, we'll have a look at the readings today, and you'll just have to see the notes from love feasts at a later date. I get the impression when I read John chapter 10, that John had this huge smile on his face, because John chapter 9 is all about the man born blind and the discourse with the Pharisees about, well, why is he blind and now he can see and are we blind too? And Jesus says, well, yeah, if it helps you to think like that, maybe you are. But so there's all this discourse about the Pharisees not quite getting it, and about being able to see. And it's as if in John chapter 10, John says, okay, we'll have another go. You didn't get it about seeing, let's see if we can get it around hearing. And then we go into this John chapter 10. And John chapter 10 is an interesting chapter of John. All of John, as you know, I find very interesting. John 10 is an interesting chapter, because if we went home today and people said, what was the gospel reading? Many of us would say it was about the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, it was about the Good Shepherd. When actually it wasn't. John chapter 10 is split into three sections. The first piece, the first 10 verses, which is what we had read to us today, talks very much about who Jesus is. The verses that then follow on from that, from 11 onwards, talk about what does that mean? What are the implications for Christ in who he is? Talks about Jesus then being the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. That's the implication for Jesus. So the first piece is about who he is. Second piece is about what does that mean? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And the third piece, which is equally important, talks about what does that mean for us? Which is that all who profess Christ's name are safe forever. And there's a bit in there about John taking what had been kind of a general theme of eternal life for the Jews and turning that into a very specific and individualistic view of eternal life for all those who believe in Christ. So those are the three sections of John chapter 10. So we're looking at the first 10 verses, which focus on who Jesus is. And Jesus tells us two things. First of all, he says, I am the gate. I'm the gate to the sheepfold. Stating very clearly, he is the means of access in and out of the sheepfold. I'm the gate. I'm the way that you have access. And in speaking to the Pharisees as he's doing, he's saying, I am the way that you have access, that people have access to the Father. I am the way that, if you like, that relationship is restored. And that relationship with the Father is based not on a cerebral understanding of the laws of the Jews, of the Torah, or it's not based nowadays on an understanding of Scripture and what all Scripture means. Something that's very academic and dry. It's based on a relationship with Christ giving access to the Father. And just as we have access to the Father through the Son, so the Father has access to us through the Son. And so we have his Spirit within us as those who profess his name. It's a profound thing that Jesus is saying about access to the Father and our relationship that is restored with the Father. And for the Jews, for the Pharisees, that was absolutely radical. For them, access to the Father, access to God, to Yahweh as it was through them, was through the priesthood and through the temple. That's why the temple was so central and appears a bit later on in the passage. That's how people could get access, as it was, to God. That's how they would approach God, through the temple, through the priests, not through some individual, and certainly not having everybody having access. So they were probably fairly rattled by this. And then Jesus goes on to say, I'm a shepherd. He doesn't say at this stage, I'm the good shepherd. He says, I'm a shepherd, and the people will hear my voice. And for us, we often think of shepherd in the kind of Latin sense of being a pastor and somebody who looks after. And that's correct too. But for the Jews, right at this particular time, the image that they had of a shepherd was that of a shepherd king. The image of David as the shepherd king, the shepherd leader. When Jesus talks about himself being a shepherd, they didn't think pastor, they thought more leader and king. Now, that's all the more interesting because a little bit later on in John chapter 10, it tells us that all this is happening around the Feast of Dedication at Hanukkah. Hanukkah was the time which stems back from, it's 163 BC. And if you remember from the Lent course, those that turned up. And if you didn't, it's too late now, but notes are available for a small fee. But if you remember, on the kind of the end of the Old Testament, the Jewish nation again gets a bit squished by the Ptolemies on one side, Seleucids on the other. Seleucids win, and eventually Antiochus takes over the Jerusalem, ransacks the temple, puts images in, and that's why there's a lot in the latter prophets about who would you bow down and worship. And Maccabees, just in Maccabees and a number of others, the Maccabean revolt, get the temple back. They take, if you like, Jerusalem and the temple back from the Greeks. And what happens is that they then rededicate the temple. They find, when they finally get there, they find a small phial of oil, which is enough for one day. And they light the menorah. This is the beginning of the Feast of Dedication. And instead of lasting for one day, it lasts for eight, which is why there are eight candlesticks on the menorah and one in the middle which you light it from. But it's all about who's in charge, the leadership, because they are in the temple at the Feast of the Feast of the Dedication, remembering what the Maccabean revolts have done, what Justin Maccabees has done, in restoring leadership and authority in the temple. It's one of the festivals that all the Jews go to Jerusalem for. The time is a time of remembering who's in charge. Who is the leader? Who is the king? And it's in that context that Jesus says, I am the shepherd. I am the king. Absolutely radical to all the hearers, not just the Pharisees. So Jesus, in the first bit of John, has said, I am the gate. I am the means of access to the Father and the means of access of the Father to you as individuals. And I am the king. I am the Messiah. I am the one that you pray for three times a day. I am the gate. I'm the means of access. I'm the shepherd. I'm the king. I'm the Messiah. That's all that Jesus is saying, or you know, encompasses what Jesus is saying in these first few verses of John. This is who I am. You may not have seen and understood, but hear and understand who I am. You know, the King, the Messiah, the Shepherd, the Gate, the means of access to the Father. So those hearing it were faced with a couple of questions. Do they believe it? And if they do, what does it mean? The reason why believing it was so important and is important for us today is that if we have an unclear picture of who Christ is, then our message to the world is unclear and our hope for the future is unclear. It's very difficult to have a sure and certain hope of the future without being sure and certain of Christ and of who he is. And that was the dilemma that was facing the early believers and the listeners to what Jesus was saying, and to us today. It's a real challenge to understand more of who Jesus is and his relationship with the Father. And one of the great themes of John is I and the Father are one. Jesus and the Father is one, which is why he has the means of access both ways. But understanding who Christ is, who he really is, as the King, the Messiah, and as Saviour, the Messiah who would bring salvation, understanding that for ourselves is really important, because if we don't, then it's difficult for us to take a message of confidence out into the world. And it was difficult for those hearers to take on board the fullness of what Christ was saying. But understanding who he was absolutely a foundation for everything that they would live and that they would do and that they would go on to, if we think of the lessons from the Acts. The second thing they had to work out is, if it was true, what do they do about it? Because Jesus says, I'm the shepherd, and I call you, and people will listen to my voice, they will hear my voice. And there are lots of different voices that we hear in the world today, lots of different things that would take our time, lots of different things that would distract from that which God has called us to do. And the challenge is, do we hear his voice, and do we continually hear his voice? The other challenge is, of course, that Jesus doesn't lead us into the sheepfold where it's all cozy and it's safe. Jesus leads us out of the sheepfold into the world. He calls us out into that place which is kind of all messy, not particularly Christian. But he also assures us it's only by engaging with the world that we can find life in its fullness. As we are Christ to the world, so we find the fullness of life that Christ promises for us. The disciples had to decide what they were going to do. The Pharisees ultimately had to decide, would they follow Christ or would they continue in their own ways? Would they want to be led out of the fold? It's safe in the fold, but ultimately, if there's no food in there, we sort of wither on the vine. Jesus leads us out. In the Church of England, today is Vocation Sunday. I'm sure Joni will remind us in one of her roles, today is Vocation Sunday. And that's a challenge to all of us, to work out what is God's vocation in our lives as he calls us out of the sheepfold as the shepherd, as the Messiah, as the King, as the one who brings salvation. What is he calling us to? Now, for the vast majority of people, he's probably calling us to the things that we're doing right now. It isn't necessarily a radical change. But John chapter 10, and in particular these verses, and Vocation Sunday do give us the opportunity to take a step back and say, are we in the right vocation? Are we doing what Christ wants us to do? Are we being led in the way that he wants to lead us out of that sheepfold? He continues to provide the access to the Father. He continues to provide the inflowing of the Spirit from the Father so that we can be empowered for the work that he calls us to as we step out of the sheepfold. But he does challenge us to what is our vocation. The world is a messy place. We all know that. That's where we live. It's not necessarily a Christian place. There aren't the strictures and the guidelines of the Jewish law, of the Torah, necessarily, to guide our footsteps. All we have is the call of Christ to follow him out of the sheep pen, wherever that may lead. Amen.